Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR presentation of full year 2019 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this conference call. I would like to briefly go through our latest presentation, which takes into account both the merger between COFIDE and CIR, as well as the 2019 results that were approved by this morning's board of CIR. So 2019 has been a pretty busy year for us. We went through a major reorganization of our group, consisting of the merger of CIR and COFIDE, which was announced in February 19 last year. It took almost a year to complete it. It was completed by February this year. We also, during the course of the year, decided to divest our controlling interest in GEDI, which CIR has owned for about 30 years. So it was an important event for our company. And we accelerated the development of what has become our most important asset today, which is COS, through a significant acquisition in Germany, through which we entered the German market in the long-term care space. We have indicated several times that going forward, we plan to allocate the bulk of our resources to expanding our healthcare business, which we think is the most promising asset within our group. And we will be busy focusing our managerial efforts on improving Sogefi's performance. On page three, you have the organizational chart of the group following the merger. My family's holding company that I jointly own with my two brothers controls today slightly over 30% of the equity capital of the combined company of the new CIR and about 45% of the voting rights. And the new CIR is focused on two assets, which are the controlling stakes in COS, 59.5%. Of the capital, and Sogefi, which is itself separately listed, 56.7% of the capital. We indicated the GEDI asset because it is still owned by our company. We have signed a binding contract a few months ago in December last year. The contract has no condition other than antitrust authorizations. We are in the process of obtaining those, and as we indicated, we expect the closing of the transaction to happen in the month of April of this year. On page four, we just remind some of the things that I just said to you. On page five, recall the divestiture of GEDI. I remind you that we agreed with a buyer, Exor, that she reinvests into the new GEDI, into the acquisition vehicle, for 5% of the equity at the same price as the divestiture price. On page six, we have highlighted some pro forma numbers for 19. So what basically the board this morning has approved both the Shia and the Cofide separate accounts because the two companies were in existence at the end of last year. The merger is effective since February this year. And so we have also presented, we are presenting here some pro forma numbers to show what the results of the company would have been had the merger being effective January 1st of last year. So as you can see, the net profit pro forma for 19 would have been 22.6 million euro, while the consolidated net result, which includes the loss on the sale of Jedi, is a negative 122.4 million. The contribution from the core businesses, so the two assets that we are presently focused on, COS and Sogefi, has been 19.8 million last year compared to 28.9 million the previous year, and I will comment later the deltas from the previous year. And the pro forma consolidated net financial position before the application of IFRS 16 would be 327 negative. This compares to 219.8 negative at the end of the previous year. And this is composed of a net financial surplus at the holding company of slightly less than 300 million euro. It's slightly lower, 3 million lower than the previous year. And a net debt of the consolidated subsidiaries, so COS and Sogefi, for 623 before IFRS 16. Including the new accounting principle, consolidated net debt is 1.127 billion euros. If you go to page 7, you have the consolidated income statement line by line, and you have it without the new accounting principle on the second column and with the new accounting principle, which is, you know, the official numbers on the last column. I would just highlight the fact that because of IFRS 16, the meaning of EBITDA is frankly less relevant than before, because that number doesn't include the rent that we pay for, particularly in the case of cost, this is relevant. So I think what is probably more relevant is the EBIT line, you know, EBIT on a comparable basis has decreased from 109 million in 18 to 80 million in 19. We had lower financial charges for 22 million, and this is what brings the net result from continuing operation, so excluding the JD sale, to 17.2 million, which compares to 24.8 the previous year. Then you have the line asset held for sale, which is JD, and in that line, 136 million, you have both the pro rata share of the net result of JD for 19, as well as the loss compared to our book price, because we have basically we're bringing the value of our JD stake to the price that was agreed with Exor, at which we will sell our shares in the coming weeks. On page 8, we have the same numbers as on page 7, divided by businesses. So you see that cost contributes, our share of net earnings is 18 million in 19. So JFE has a significant reduction in profitability in 19. We'll talk about that later. And this is what brings the total core business from 29 million to about 20 million last year. Holding company result, which is a pro forma. So this includes both CIR and COFIDE. On those pages, those are pro forma numbers. So this gives you an indication of what the holding company system result would have been in 19. And then you have the JD line as in the previous page. On page 9, which is probably the most relevant one, you have the comparison of book values for 18 and 19 on the left-hand side. There, the big change is the carrying value of our investment in JD, which is reduced to the price of the transaction, and this is the main difference. And then on the lower end side, you have the book values of the various financial assets, which are not the three operating businesses. On the last column on your right, NAV at fair value, we have basically calculated an NAV using for Sogefi, the market price, the average of the 3 months till March the 5th, where the stock has been trading. For JD, we have used the pending sale to Exor price. And for COS, we have used an average of the latest analyst valuation on COS and CIR. So it's an indication. It's not a number that comes from a balance sheet or from any other valuation. It's just what the analysts that covers us are estimating as value for cost. So this brings the total NAV of the group at 1.154 billion euros, which amounts to 92 cents per share, including the treasury shares that are presently owned by the company. So assuming that those were canceled. I will now go on to talk about costs. We have tried to expand a bit compared to the previous information that we've given you, given the fact that this has become our core asset. We have included some additional information on the company and on the sector. The company's activities are described on page 10. We have developed into being today the number one long-term player in Italy, active in both rehabilitation, nursing homes, and diagnostic and cancer care. We have added during the course of last year to this portfolio of activity a new important leg, which is Charleston. We acquired this German-based company, which operates about 4,000 beds in 47 facilities in Germany. It is the 10th largest player in terms of size in the German market. It is a company that was built up by EQT, the private equity fund, in the last 4 years through a bunch of acquisitions and greenfield initiatives. And we feel that it is a very interesting platform to enter into the largest nursing home and long-term care market in Europe, which is Germany, which has some, we think, interesting characteristics, both because it is a very fragmented market where we see the potential to consolidate that market, as we have done in Italy over the last few years, and also because the regulation and the tariff system in Germany, we think, is a pretty stable, predictable, and solid one to build a long-term business on. If you go to page 11, you have a breakdown of our revenues per geography. So today, Italy represents about 74% of our revenues, Germany 22%, and there is a tiny presence, and this is the Medipass business, which is present both in the UK and in India. But I'd say it's relatively marginal. So the company is really split between a main important core business in Italy, but with a significant presence in the German market, and we would expect over the next few years to, expand the German presence through the consolidation of that platform. On page 12, you have a few historical numbers for the last 5-6 years in terms of number of beds, in terms of revenues, and profitability. I would highlight that 19 includes Germany for, well, obviously the number of beds, this is a year-end number, so this is 100% of the German beds, but revenues, this is just the last 2 months of the year. So we're consolidating November and December in those numbers, and 2020 will be the first year where we will have the full year consolidation for Charleston. And as you can see, the business has grown quite nicely, both in terms of top line as well as profitability. And in the last few years, we have increased both the absolute but also the relative level of profitability of our business. In terms of net financial position, as you can see, there is a jump between end of 18 and end of 19. This is mainly related to the Charleston acquisition, where we have invested about 90 million euros, and the rest of it is really the external growth that we have continued to carry on in Italy through both greenfields and acquisitions. As you can see from the comments on the long-term care business, EBITDA margin has increased by close to 200 basis points in the last 5 years. So this shows that the consolidation exercise is one where, because of the growth in the critical mass and because we are adding structures that are typically less efficient than our level of efficiency, we can gain in profitability by this consolidation process. And we pretty much, the plan is to pretty much do that in Germany too. We start from a very low level of profitability of the assets that we bought, and that was part of the price we made. We were able to buy those assets at that valuation because those assets are not mature yet in terms of their profitability. So this was reflected in the valuation, and we think that is an opportunity for us if we are capable of working well and increasing the levels of profitability to create value for ourselves through that acquisition. The Medipass business, which is the diagnostic and cancer care business, has continued to grow nicely. It's mainly in Italy, with three contracts in the UK and a business in India, but the bulk of the business is in Italy, and that has contributed nicely to growth. On page 13, you have the performance of the business, where we have highlighted the contribution of Charleston as you can see in the second column. So the first one, the first column, 19 reported, is the numbers that I commented earlier. The second column is the contribution in November and December from the Charleston business. The column deal cost is one-off deal and integration cost for the transaction. On the second to last column on the right, you have the normalized numbers for costs for 19 compared to the 18 numbers in the last column. And this is useful to compare, apple to apple, and see how the business has performed in terms of margins and profitability. You have a few comments on page 13. I stop for a minute here, and I pass the floor to Michele Cavigioli. Michele sits on the board of COS, and he's been very close to the company in the last few years, and particularly followed the acquisition of Charleston. So maybe, Michele, you could just comment a bit the numbers on page 14 and 15.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. As you can see, we have compared 18 and 19 here. We have revenues grown by 4.5%. Out of these 4.5%, 2.5 roughly was thanks to organic growth, and the rest was due to acquisition of greenfields, which we always have in the pipeline, that we have completed in the last 2 years. Of course, here we don't have anything about Charleston, which was normalized out. We'll give some guidance later on what is going to happen to Charleston. EBITDA margin, despite this growth, was stable and quite at high levels, 25%, EBITDA 18%. EBIT here, you see it at 12, is not directly comparable between 1 year and the other, as there is a difference in the accounting standard due to IFRS 16 in 19 and not in 18. Net financial position, as you see, quite large increase. This was due to Charleston. It is included in the 130 million capex that you see on the right, which include the Charleston acquisition as well as greenfield projects, a few smaller acquisitions, and investments done by Medibus in the diagnostics and cancer care business. Then we have 23 million maintenance capex. This is a number which has been quite stable over the last few years, and it relates to the refurbishment, regular maintenance, and regulatory improvements of all our buildings where we operated the nursing homes. As I said, this number has been stable at this figure for many years. We plan to increase it a little bit over the next 2-3 years as we are now carrying out some projects in IT infrastructure improvements in order to enhance efficiency of the treatment of the services delivered, as well as crash program on adjusting all the structures that have been recently consolidated to the highest standards in terms of safety and seismic regulations. In this cash flow, we also have a disposal of a real estate asset, which was a greenfield, which we started and then we sold the real estate. And also a distribution of dividends of 35 million last year in 19 related to the 18 profit, which means that cash generation was in the region of 45 million euro, and includes those 23 million capex, so net of these 23 million capex. As you can also see, there is a very high number at the bottom left, which is net financial position with IFRS 16. This is related to the financial leases related to the buildings we rent. This number is particularly relevant in Germany, where all the facilities are rented, and where also the rental contracts are longer typically than Italy. We're talking about 25 years, and most of them have been renewed at the time of our purchase of the Charleston subsidiary. This number, however, the 1.1 billion net financial position with IFRS 16 is not going to impact our covenant calculations, as all the covenants are based on pre-IFRS 16 figures and are split between the operating company, so operating company leverage, net of pro forma rents on one hand, and then real estate loan to value for the facilities owned by COS on the other hand. If you turn to page 14, we have even a bit more insight into the Italian perimeter here. So you start with the first column, it is again ex-Charleston, and then we split this Italy perimeter into the first column, long-term care and acute care, so nursing homes, rehabilitation, and one hospital that we manage in acute care, marginal, however, on the overall perimeter. And then on the second column, you have the Medipass business, diagnostics and cancer care, and the holding costs and the intercompany eliminations on the last column. So as you can see, you have an EBITDA margin before rent of 25% in long-term care, Italy, and the same number is 29% for diagnostics and cancer care. However, at the EBIT level, long-term care has a higher figure because in diagnostics we have the amortization of all the equipment that we buy and then use to service our customers in the hospitals where we provide diagnostics and cancer care services on a B2B basis. On the right, you see the real estate portfolio, of course. It has a book value of 211 million and a fair value based on appraisals of 270 with a real estate debt of 80 million. A bit more guidance on the evolution of the Italian business, particularly in long-term care. Typically, we have observed that the existing perimeter is able to deliver a mid-single-digit growth, thanks to the optimization of the current perimeter, which is, however, for most of the homes, quite well optimized already, excluding the add-on acquisitions, and also thanks to a pipeline of secured greenfield projects that we have started and we have in a pipeline. We plan to deliver a few homes per year over the next few years. Of course, we will also look for further acquisitions wherever available, and we remain focused on nursing homes, rehabilitation, and psychiatry, which is our core business, and where we can exploit synergies by adding new assets. If you turn now to page 15, we give some light on the acquisition of Charleston. Obviously it's a quite young business for us. It has been in the company for one trimester, for one quarter. By now, we have already started working with local management on the turnaround of the business. When we announced the acquisition, we said this business was still in the middle of a turnaround program, which had been started by the former private equity owner. However, the big part of this program needs to be done. And hence, we are now developing the business plan for this, and we can give some high-level guidance about it. We expect over the next 3-5 years to achieve a mid-single-digit growth in the existing perimeter, so with no additions, based on certain enlargement, certain homes, based on revenue optimization, and other levers that we have identified for each nursing home. Plus, there is a interesting opportunity to grow with a greenfield pipeline, which in Germany seems to be even more efficient than in Italy, because the approval is much easier. There is no need to get a budget from the healthcare authorities. You just need an accreditation based on standards, and then the structure can run and is funded by the public sector according to the agreed rates. Also, on the German market, it is easy to get financing for the new construction at very good terms, and then get into a rental contract even before the construction starts. So basically agreeing on a new greenfield where by becoming an operator and avoiding a real estate investment, which is our preferred strategy. We think that a further high single-digit growth can be added via this greenfield pipeline, and we have already started approving a few projects which will be will become operational in a couple of years. Charleston is also a very good platform for further expansion, also by acquisitions. We bought a management team which had already demonstrated track record in this activity, and we plan to look at all interesting assets that would come to market over the next few years.
Thank you, Michele. Maybe just in the sake of time, because I'm concerned about not making this too long for you, I could just comment briefly on Sogefi's result, then we need more time for Q&A, and obviously we can come back to cost. On page 16, you have the key numbers for Sogefi. Results have been already published a few weeks ago, so they're known. You have the breakdown of the customers, last year performance was negatively impacted by both the decrease in volumes, particularly in the last part of the year, and particularly in Asia, as well as some increase in raw material prices, particularly steel, which has affected quite significantly, particularly the suspension division. So this is the reason of the EBIT number that goes from 60 million to roughly 40 million, which is a sizable reduction. Before the COVID-19 virus, we were expecting a somewhat flat market for car production globally this year. We have had a performance in line with that in the first 2 months of the year. Unfortunately, we expect disruption in the next few months because of what is going on, which will have a material effect on both car production, car sales, and therefore, our OE business to the car makers will be negatively impacted. It is too early today to, give guidance, but we certainly have started working on contingency plan to compensate in terms of lower costs for what most probably will be lower revenue compared to what we expected. On page 17, you have the consolidated net financial position with a breakdown of the various businesses. As Michele highlighted, there is a big difference between the costs pre-IFRS 16 and post because of the rental contracts that were mentioned. And then you have the shareholding pro forma. This is pro forma after the merger. So this is the net number before the JD divestiture that is currently our net financial position. On page 18, you have a bridge where you have both on the top part of the page the consolidated number for the holding company as it is today, and you have on the lower end side the CHIR numbers, and obviously the difference is the consolidation with the Cofida's balance sheet. Cofida had a relatively small negative financial position, so the impact is not particularly relevant, but there is some impact. And on page 19, you have the breakdown of how our financial assets are invested today. We have been, over the last few years, very cautious in managing those liquid assets. Most of them are in capital guaranteed fixed income policies. So there, we have a very protected downside. The hedge fund portfolio performed pretty well, actually very well last year. Obviously, that is exposed to market fluctuations, cash and time deposits. That's what it is. And corporate bonds, those are high quality bonds. So I would say that overall, we are pretty confident about the way that our financial assets are invested, and we don't see any major risk, which doesn't mean that on those, as well as on the last page, page 20, our non-core investments, if there is major last market correction, we might be somewhat impacted as everybody else, but we feel that our portfolio is very resilient, very prudent, and I think it will behave that way as it did in the last market corrections that we have seen in the last few years. With that, I would finish my presentation and open it up to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Martino De Ambrogi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yep. Good afternoon, everybody. Two questions on Charleston, first of all. You are guiding for top-line growth mid-high single-digit, including a greenfield. And you are guiding for EBITDA in the mid-high single-digit range. So I was wondering first, what is the time span for this EBITDA guidance? And just a feeling if it's the maximum the German platform can achieve with the current number of beds, or it's something we can assume as a conservative guidance. And the second is a more topical question on how the business is affected by the recent virus spread across Italy. The other questions are more general. I will ask them later.
Thank you. I would ask, maybe on both of those, I would ask Michele to answer them.
Okay, on Charleston, the guidance we gave is over a period of 3 to 5 years. So it's the time by which we expect the current business plan to be realized. Being aware that this business plan is still a preliminary one, because we are now currently working on doing a new business plan with management, so we might give updated guidance later on. With regards to the profitability on the German market, it is structurally lower than on the Italian market due to the tariff structure in Germany. Unlike Italy, in Germany, there is a cost-plus mechanism which is applied for each nursing home. So you disclose your cost and you get a certain tariff. So there is not an infinite amount of money that you can get out of this, out of each nursing home. On the other hand, it is also protecting on the downside in case of cost increases. So there are definitely, compared to the performance of the nursing home business in Italy, there are a few percentage points of margin less in Germany. With regard to the coronavirus impact on costs, of course, the whole structure and the whole organization is now 100% focused on protecting the patients in the nursing homes. So as early as the first outbreak a few weeks ago, strict measures were taken in all the nursing homes and rehabilitation center to prevent the contagion spreading inside. So there was a block on the incoming patients from hospital which were not tested negative. There was also a block on the visiting relatives in order to limit as much as possible all the contacts with external sources of contagion, and strict measures are taken, of course, in case of any outbreak inside the homes in terms of isolating any patient. As of today, there are a very limited number of positive cases, which, of course, are then now transferred to the hospital as soon as possible. And we, of course, are collaborating with the healthcare authorities in being collaborative, where we can help with our rehab units, for example, in helping out with the emergency situation. It is by far too early to assess any economic impact of this. So far, all the nursing homes are still operational and with some occupancy. However, it is very difficult to predict how this will evolve and what kind of impact there will be on occupation and costs.
If I may, one more on costs, the normalized tax rate under the new corporate structure?
It's in line for Italy, in line for Italy, and lower, it should be lower for Germany. We will, however, disclose a tax rate for Germany later on, depending also on the business plan, new business plan formulation.
Okay, there will be presentation dedicated to the business plan or just an announcement?
We have not planned any public presentation of the business plan so far. We might think about it.
Okay. And the two more general questions. In an interview, Mr. De Benedetti, you mentioned, it was last December if I remember correctly, you mentioned that the available cash at the CIR level would be used for costs, that's very clear, for Sogefi. So I'm just asking you if you think to inject money in Sogefi or what else. And for new investments, they are probably ruled out, while buyback, if the stock is trading at 50% versus the net asset value you presented before, although based on analyst consensus, knowing that you bought back 19% of the capital in the past, I suppose the buyback will restart as soon as possible.
So what I said was that we would focus our capital on costs as a priority, because that is the asset where we see the most scope for value creation over the next few years. We don't have any plans to invest more capital into Sogefi at this stage. We don't want to rule it out, but that is not the base case scenario. What I said about Sogefi is that we would revisit the strategic positioning of the three businesses in which we are involved, and that we would look at our portfolio with the view of concentrating it and taking advantage of possible market consolidation. That being said, as long as the market is uncertain as it is today in terms of the economic cycle, the automotive cycle, the effect of the virus on car production and on car purchases, I don't think that it is very likely that we'll ensure transactions in this context. So I think we need to probably have a stabilization in order to do that. Is focused on protecting and enhancing the profitability of the three business units. Concerning buybacks, you're right. We did buy back prior to the merger about 20% of the capital of CIR. We did that because we thought that the discount at which the stock was trading compared to what we think is fair value was sufficiently attractive. The board has not yet made any decision on buybacks, but certainly that will be a theme that will be discussed in our next meetings. And I think that so long as that significant difference prevail, I would expect that the board would act as in the past in considering buybacks as a good way of increasing NAV per share.
Okay, thank you. And no new investments and new diversification initiatives?
It is not planned.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Pietro Gasparri with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. The current cost leverage is in the region of 3.5 times. So I would like to ask you if we can expect a temporary pause in the external growth at least for 1 year. And then I would like to ask you also if you can provide us an indication about the expected net financial position at the end of this year. And then I have another question on slide number 9, the one related to the column of NAV. And I would like to know how did you assess the value of the real estate asset, if was the result of an external or an internal appraisal. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll answer maybe, I'll start to answer and then I ask Michele to complement it. On leverage, I think your expectation is correct. We have over the last 2 years, including Charleston, we have gone through a fairly significant investment in terms of new beds, both small acquisitions in Italy as well as greenfields and Germany. And I think it's good management to now focus on integrating those assets, particularly the German assets that require a lot of work to be brought up to, you know, what we consider to be normalized profitability levels. And so, you know, you're right in thinking that we will now slow the pace of growth. It doesn't mean that we will not continue to do greenfields or that selectively we will not pursue, you know, external growth opportunities, but I think we'll probably be more selective. We think that, you know, given also the uncertain environment, it is not a bad thing to, you know, to slow it down a bit and to wait. On the expected net financial position at the end of the year, I leave it to Michele, and as well as on the criteria valuation of the real estate assets. I presume you mean the cost real estate assets.
Not. I was referring actually on the column on the NAV. On page
the
9.
NAV. Okay.
Sure. Yes. The NAV, so the fair value of sheer real estate assets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is also based on an external appraisal.
External appraisal. Okay. Thank you.
With regards to the net financial position of costs, we have still a few acquisitions that we are going to close, committed acquisitions that we are going to close in the next few months. And a few greenfields, as I said before, in the pipeline that we are going to build in Italy. We have also some CapEx in Medipass, which continuously takes on new projects and needs to invest in machinery to execute those projects. We have a free cash flow after paying all the regular maintenance capex, both in the nursing homes rehabilitation and in Medipass, of roughly 40 million expected for next year. So this will cover the expected investment, and therefore we plan to increase the net financial position a bit by the end of the year, not by a dramatic amount. Leverage could go up maybe another 2 decimal points or something like that. We, however, are very aware that we cannot push leverage too much. So before we invest into any other major asset, we'll have to take care of the leverage reduction first.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Martino De Ambrogi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, a follow-up on the property asset of course, because it's the first time, if I'm not wrong, you present market value for your asset on an official document. The question is the same of the previous one, so if it's based on internal estimates or independent appraisals. And the second is more strategic. We read some rumors about Medipass, but we may consider Medipass as a core asset going forward.
Michele.
So real estate on costs is also appraised by external evaluators. So there you can find the fair value. With regard to Medipass, we think that it's a different business than long-term care. Long-term care is definitely the core business. We have now two geographies, and we would like to dedicate our financial resources primarily to that sector. However, no decision has been taken on Medipass in terms of strategic moves yet.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
I would like to thank everybody for your attendance and for your trust in us. Have a good day.